Now, doesn't that look like enough fun that you want to join the bell choir? I'm trying, Leanne. Mark Twain once said that April 1st is the day we're reminded of what we are the other 364. You got to love his one-liners. Fools and clowns. Those words conjure up in our minds images that we don't take too seriously. Like the Three Stooges, one of my favorite groups. Those are quality fools for you. No substance, but a lot of laughs. These days, the office of the fool or the clown is not an office of honor or respect. But that is not the way that it always was. Now, any of you big Tony Hillerman fans, if you live in New Mexico, you're obligated by law to read Tony Hillerman books. He's a New Mexico author. Now, I'm only making that up, but most people do. The title of one of my favorite books by him is Sacred Clowns, one of his murder mysteries, and a very good one. And that's where I blatantly ripped off the title for my sermon, Sacred Clowns, in case you're wondering where that comes from. In this story, Tony introduces us to the Cachare, which are the clowns of the Pueblo. So if you've been in New Mexico or Arizona to any of the Pueblo peoples, you might have seen one of the Cachare. By tradition, they wear black and white striped clothes, kind of like prison clothes. Not that there's any correlation, but that's the outfit that they wear. And they're typically shown eating a piece of watermelon. They're classic fools with their hair in these crazy conical ponytail kind of things. They are an important and beloved part of the Pueblo community. Now, for us 21st century Americans, clowns are entertainment. But in Pueblo tradition, the Cachare, or the clown, is a very sacred office. Now, while the people will laugh at the antics and the capers of the Cachare, because they do act like fools and very slapstick, their real function in Pueblo society is to act as the only socially acceptable way to poke fun at and challenge the traditions of the people and the Pueblo leadership. Now, in Pueblo culture, there's no other way that the people can question tradition and authority. Without the costume and makeup on, the person who portrays a Cachare is forbidden to do that. But once in costume, he can safely assume that role of social commentator and remain sort of free from punishment. Now, in Western culture, the Cachare has a counterpart, the court jester. Now, the court jester is what we've come to think of as the silly and harmless clown. And that's kind of where clowns come from. But in previous centuries, the court jester or fool was also a social commentator. His job wasn't just to entertain the king or queen, but in the costume of the fool, he could poke fun at society and at the actions of the king or queen in relative safety. It didn't always work. No costume, no protection. But even in costume, you can still kind of run foul of the powers that be. That's the skill of the role of the sacred clown or jester, knowing just how far you can push things. Now, in the Old Testament, it's the prophets who occasionally play a similar role to the jester. For those of you who read Jeremiah or Ezekiel, think of the various things that they would act out and crazy rituals they would perform in their lives as they talk to the people. Unfortunately, the office of the prophet wasn't nearly as respected as that of the jester. And more often than not, Old Testament prophets would pay for their words with their lives. You know, I think Mark Twain may have been right when he accused us of being fools 365 days a year. But sometimes being a fool is not a bad thing. Sometimes a clown can be sacred, and oftentimes it's a foolish message that we preach as we live out our walk in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he goes on to say, Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where are the debaters of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Paul hits the nail right on the head and makes his whole point in that one sentence. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God's wisdom, you can't prove it. It can't be held and tested and poked and prodded to find out what makes it tick. You can't see it in signs and miracles. It can't be proven. But to those of us who are sacred clowns, those of us who follow God's own fool, we are wise beyond measure. God's own fool. That's a term Michael Card, a Christian songwriter, good stuff, by the way, thoughtful, well-written. It's a phrase he uses to describe Jesus, God's own fool. And it's an interesting choice of words, and a choice that he makes not meaning disrespect. God's own fool, who forgives sin, who heals on the Sabbath, who questions the authority and the theology of the learned men. God's own fool, who broke bread with tax collectors and prostitutes. God's own fool, who invites us to step out in faith and be a fool also, to lose our lives so we can win them back. We are sacred clowns, you and I, called by God to question the way things are, who are called to live and do as Jesus did. Mark Twain went on to write, "Ah, well, I am a great and sublime fool, but then I am God's fool, and all God's works must be contemplated with respect." Fools we are when we follow the way of Jesus, but we're sacred fools. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The message of the cross, a message of total foolishness, but a message of hope and freedom to those of us who have been saved through Christ Jesus, to live a new way in the world, to look at the world with new eyes, enlightened by the gospel. To us fools, the cross is a symbol of power and liberation. The cross, a simple man, the Son of God, shamed and ridiculed and cursed and rejected and dragged out and beaten and nailed to a few pieces of wood, while the people looked on and laughed. That's the wisdom of God with us. Never understood by the wise guys, not in their wisdom, never seen for who he was, not by the wise eyes of the world, or by those who think that power is found in strength or force. God's wisdom doesn't make sense to ordinary wise guys. It takes a fool in the spirit to see God's actions as wise. It takes a clown, a real clown, to look at the cross, a thing of shame, of pain, of death, of evil. It takes a sacred clown to look at the cross and see how wise God is. You and I, fools we are, for we've heard the message of the cross, and we've responded to its power. Fools we are, for we proclaim the message of strength in weakness and power in powerlessness. Fools we are because we dare to proclaim the message of life from death, new life bought by the death of God's own Son. We are called, you and I, to be sacred clowns, to question what is and point the finger at what should never be in our world. Sacred clowns, poking our fingers at the way things are with the witness of our lives and dreaming and working for a better world where God's righteousness and God's power becomes the true wisdom. And those things that seek to destroy God's hope for the world are seen as the foolishness that they are. And so we're called, and we're set apart by God to live as fools, to act like clowns, to question and critique the way things are. But most of all, we're called to live and serve each other as a community of faith, to help those left behind or pushed to the edges of our society. We're called as sacred clowns to live foolishly, to risk everything, to be a beacon of light to a dark and foolish world. You and I, an unlikely community of faith, reminding the world that there is more to life than what eye can see and ear can hear. Kathleen Norris, in her book Amazing Grace, makes this observation. When I first began to attend church services as an adult, I found it ironic that it was the language about Jesus Christ meant to be most inviting that made me feel most left out. I often felt a void at the heart of things. My Christianity seemed to be missing its center. And when I confessed this to a monk, he reassured me by saying, "Oh, most of us feel that way at one time or another. Jesus is the hardest part of the religion to grasp, to keep alive." I told him that I probably felt Jesus' hand in things most during worship, whether I was in church or at home. Just look around at the motley crew assembled in his name, myself among them, lets me know how unlikely it all is. I never really did that. Let's look at one another for a minute. We are kind of an unlikely group of folk, aren't we? I mean, what else would we ever have in common? The whole lot of us, warts and all, just seems so improbable, so absurd. I figure that only Christ would be so foolish or so powerful to have brought us all together. Fools we are. Wear that title with pride. Clowns we're called to be, sacred clowns. So live out that calling in everything that you say and do. Fools and clowns, maybe. But it takes a clown or a fool to do the ministry that we do through Bellevue Together and Crossroads Connections and think we can make a difference. But you know what? We do. We make a big difference in people's lives here. It takes a clown to open our doors and welcome in the stranger and the outcast. It takes a fool, a really big fool, to be the heart and hands of Christ to our community and to the world. It takes a clown, a very sacred clown, to risk everything that we have and everything that we are and exchange it for something better. I'll leave you with the words of this poem for you to ponder. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach for one another is to risk involvement. To expose your feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To believe is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, live. Chained by their attitudes, they are slaves. They have forfeited their freedom. Only a person who risks is free. In the Church of Jesus Christ, maybe the clowns are running the circus, but that's the foolishness of God. And in that foolishness, we find our hope and our strength for a better world and a brighter future. Amen.